This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast. My name is Ollie Jones and I'm the host of the show. Today in season 4, episode 89, I invite back to the show Brooke Williams. I think Brooke has been on the show at least 7 times. It's always good to have her back on the pod. She last featured back in October last year where she was pregnant with her second baby. The main focus of today was to chat about the Sydney Marathon event coming up next weekend and then discuss Brooke's running this year and her build up to the event as well. She's in the marathon. Now, Brooke lives in a small town called Baruga in New South Wales, so her running environment probably is a bit different to most listeners in the sense that she has access to these long, super quiet dirt roads and almost always trains solo. Now, Brooke's always a fantastic listen to all, and we will focus on the Sydney Marathon event. So if you're doing it or you're interested, this will be a great listen. But particularly those women who are thinking about having kids or who have kids and run. Brooke talks about her training and racing around all of that stuff. So I hope you enjoy the episode and enjoy the Local Legends in Running podcast. Welcome back, I think for the 8th time, to the Local Legends in Running podcast, Brooke Williams.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, very well. You featured on here a number of times, I think 5 times in a Road to Noosa series at the beginning of last year, and then I think twice individually. And we've got you back on today for a special reason, probably 2, I guess, reasons in the sense that you're running in the Sydney Marathon, and we're going to talk about that event in depth as well. But the last time you were on here was last year in October. You hadn't even had your second child yet, 21 weeks pregnant.
Yeah, so yeah, was it 21 weeks, I think? So yeah, she's now nearly 6 months old. So it's crazy how quick it goes.
That's crazy, isn't it? And since then, tell us a bit of an update. You've been renovating the house, a new deck out the front or back there, I see.
Yeah, been pretty busy. Yeah, got straight back into work. I ended up getting a job part-time as a teacher, so 3 days a week. So Daisy and Huddy are in daycare Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and that's the days that I work. And yeah, then the other days I'm just trying to run and juggle that with Riley on the farm. And then also, yeah, just got heaps of appointments with builders and trying to organize all different bits and bobs with that and paint and yeah, been very busy. It's been good.
Yeah, well, we always have a number of, I guess, listeners from various areas tune in and various genders, but particularly those who have kids. And now you've got 2 of them and how you juggle that around life and running, it's remarkable. And I know you're very, like, persistent with this and resilient too. Like, it's what August now, and you've got 2 young children trying to be as elite as you can or get the most out of yourself anyway. So by way of agenda today, Brooke, we'll just recap. You introduce yourself again, potentially for the first time to listeners, and we'll focus then on the Sydney Marathon event itself in general, but then get into your lead up because you're in the marathon there, I guess as part of the elite field really, and that'll tie nicely into your current training. And yeah, what your goals are too for that event, and then what might lie beyond Sydney in the next sort of 6 months to a year as well.
Yeah, sounds good.
Awesome. Let's get to you then. Let's get a little bit of an introduction or maybe a recap for those who need a reminder who've tuned in before to listen to Brooke.
Yeah, so I hail from Geelong. I've lived in Baruga for nearly 10 years now, maybe 11 years. And I live out in a farm, dairy farm. I have two kids, Hudson's 4 and Daisy 6 months old. Work 3 days a week, like I said before. So I think last time I was on the podcast, I was doing more coaching and nutrition. So I've left that now and just do teaching. So that's been interesting to juggle. I know you know a lot about that, Ollie.
Yes, 100%.
That's me.
Yeah, and just to touch on the running side too, very quickly on the running journey if you can, and then any achievements that stand out to mind and your PBs as well, Brooke.
Probably I've represented Australia for the World Mountain Running Championships. Been to four Zatopeks, two 5K national champs, two 3K national champs. My PBs are 5K, 16, 14, and 10K, 34, 32. They're both in 2022. Noosa was the half marathon PB that I ran with you, Ollie,
Yes.
21:06, and then my full P marathon PB was at Noosa last year, where we did the road to Noosa, and that was 2 hours 56 10 seconds, not the Strava PB.
Yeah, not the Strava PB, off the Strava time versus the actual time, which often is slower, that pace quicker when you run further on Strava than the actual measured course. But
Great
anyway,
debate, isn't
what's your pick
it?
out of those, like of the PBs, but also the event at this age of your, or this stage of your life that you are most engaged with or like the most?
I think my 5K PB. I feel like I went through a phase where I really gave that a really good crack. Like I was racing 5K so many times. And just to break from sort of, I was running 16:30 constantly, and then just to break into 16:40, that was a huge surprise. So, and I find that the longer distances that I attempt, I just don't, I yeah, don't have found my groove, I guess, with it all. So, I'm still working. I have to work hard for like longer distances, but that's all right.
Yeah, it just takes time. And speaking of that, and speaking of marathons, let's get to the Sydney Marathon event itself. And as I mentioned before, we'll talk about this event in general. There's a number of things going on here. I'd love to touch on the history of it. So I'll just present, I guess, some like relevant points about the event. If we go back to 2000, that was the Olympics, wasn't it, in Sydney? And this event was actually like a precursor to the Olympic Games, and it was founded in that year. So essentially, it stayed on since, and now 25 years later, we're here. But initially, I found some stats here, Brooke. There was about 5,500 marathon runners in 22, a couple of years back. And that surged to approximately 17,000 in the marathon, and now 41,000 across all distances, which is crazy. The other
That's
thing too is
insane.
like that word platinum gets thrown around, and sometimes people don't know what that actually means, a platinum event, and you've certainly been a part of platinum events, and basically it means that it's a World Athletics label. So they label it as a platinum, which basically means that it's got a large elite field, it has a live stream, it complies with World Athletics anti-doping, and essentially the organization of the event is top tier, world-class kind of stuff. It's also, as probably most people know now, a marathon major, and it's the seventh Abbott World Marathon Major, which last year that was named in 2024. Of course, we haven't had it as a major yet because it's next weekend, but it's coming up quickly. And that's Sunday, 31st of August, by the way. That, get this right, there was 79,800 applicants to the event and 35,000 secured spots. So there's so much interest in it. But 35,000, that's a huge number. Like, you know a little bit about City to Surf and the numbers they get. It's obviously not near that, but for a marathon of this sort of elite caliber, that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, like especially for a marathon, because I think like a shorter event, it is a lot easier to get lots of people to it because you can get them in and out. But a marathon just has a lot more going on. So that's heaps. I can't believe that. Funny story, I was actually part of the I'm part of the Sydney Marathon Facebook group, and so many people from like all around the world, I'm seeing all these posts of people just flying in, flying out. Like they're literally going to Australia on a Thursday and flying back Monday. They're like, and one guy was like, I don't know if I should do it. It's a lot of money. Like, comment, did this post? I'm like, that's insane. All these people were commenting, like, no, I'm doing the same thing. So, yeah, so many applicants. They want to get that 7-star thing.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously, the international runners will be more attracted to the fact that it is a major event. It's obviously a tourist city. It was host to that Olympic Games back in 2000. So we'll get to that field shortly. But by way of the course, like it's not the flattest course, but I just feel like the modern day runner, marathoner, just wants to get on a course that's so dead flat. But we often forget about the beautiful courses with the rolling hills. And Sydney's a part of that. It's not extremely high in elevation, but there's some rolling hills in there, which I think only adds to the picturesque nature of the course. Starts in North Sydney, crosses the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Like, how good's that? Through the Darling Harbour, around the rocks, there's some landmarks here that some people might not know of, or maybe they do. Heads past Hyde Park, that's probably a bit more well renowned. Through Centennial Park, via, I don't know what this is, I found this landmark. Do you know the Mrs. Macquarie's chair?
I
And then
think
finishes, of course, in the Opera House.
it's near Centennial Park, I think. Yeah.
The major runner here is Eliud Kipchoge. Like, that is just a huge get. He's now, is he 40 or 41 this year?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think, is he 41?
Yeah, either way, he's sort of just past his prime, really. Like, he's yet to prove to us that he can bounce back to that form he was in sort of 5 years ago. But what a grab he is, because he's arguably the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But we've got a number of runners. These names might be unfamiliar to listeners, but the caliber here, we've got Berhanu Luguiz, Ethiopian, 202.48. That's his PB. And Ngedich,
Wow.
Kenya, 203.13. Like, within their PBs within 3 minutes. Eliud's going to struggle, I think, to get to run a 201 there, but that's crazy, isn't it?
Kipchoge, I think he's like back in really good form again. You know how he sort of had a bit of a lull for a while, which I
Yes.
think was so good to sometimes share with the fans as well and people who are into running, because it's really normal for athletes to go through lulls, but he's had a lull, but apparently he's back warring and fit, so that's really exciting. Hopefully he has like a really good performance here.
Yeah, and the beauty of running is, like, it's not like a lot of sports where you retire and basically go from this, like, top echelon to maybe participating casually. Like, you've known Mona pretty closely for a while. Like,
Yeah.
he's an example of someone, and so is Kipchoge. That's why I started with this point, who continue to get the most out of themselves. Obviously, Kipchoge is a lot younger than Mona, but the point is that it's great to see him continuing to do that into his 40s. And we've seen so many women now, too, into their late 40s, even, continue at this marathon. So those three guys there lead the way in terms of PBs, Brooke, but further down the list, I'll get to the Aussie guys, because Brett Robinson, like, he's the first one I'll talk about, and he's has to be going for that win for the Australian contingent. They're going to throw around money as well. So there's a payment for Australians specifically, along with, of course, the podium of the entire race. Now, his PB that most would know is that second fastest Australian time of 207. And actually, I saw him out at Sunny Coast, Brooke, a number of weeks back. And
Wow.
he was pacing Ryan Gregson in his Sunshine Coast Marathon at around 3:10 pace. And from memory, it was about 30K-ish that Brett ran for. So just this, like, super long
I think it was, yeah, even
marathon
further.
training session.
Yeah,
It,
34K.
yeah,
Okay. Yeah.
36, yeah.
34K. Yeah.
34. Okay, so,
Yeah.
like, isn't that a long way to be at that pace? And no respite. Like, it's not like it's a 6 on 1 off or anything like that. It was 34 on from the start,
Yeah.
and saw Jen Gregson out there too, enjoying
Oh.
herself on the bike.
Yeah, that's cool. I think Brett decided to do that because most of their training that they do is like they stop and start, so they'll do a lot of practice at marathon pace, but then they'll have like a 2-minute jog. And he's always said that sometimes in races he's like expecting that little break, so he wanted to do like a long effort like this to sort of practice that rhythm. So yeah, that's really good that he did that. Shows that he's in form.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. And Liam Adams was out there in the half marathon. Now, Andy Buchanan was in that race, and if you followed Andy in the last year, like he's just become untouchable. And after a K or so, he did pull away from Liam pretty quickly. But yeah, Liam's so consistent. He's a battler. We've seen him go out, really hard in races, and I'm sure he's gonna have a really good crack here. I do wonder what his strategy will be. He's run a 104.64 there at Sunny Coast, which like. It's not a 61-ish, which a number of Australian guys have been running of late, but like pretty much solo at the Sunny Coast. That's a pretty decent time for him, I reckon.
You can never sleep on Adam. I feel like he's just one of those athletes. He's had so much championship experience that, he can just come out of nowhere, and he's just got the mental strength to just put anyone in the Hurt Locker.
Yes, and a few others. Tom DeCanto seems to be the next quickest on the list for the Aussies. 2:11 guy. Rhys Edwards, he's pretty consistent. He was out at Gold Coast. Probably didn't have the best run of his life there. 2:17. His PB's 2:13 though. And Nick Earl, he's back on the Inside Running podcast actually with Moose talking about his lead up to this event. So tune into that if you can. And of course, Moose is on that list. He's the 2:14 guy from years ago. His most recent marathon was Melbourne. Last year, he ran about 2:32. So he's back to decent form. It'll be interesting to see how he goes.
One person I'll be watching is Sam Clifford too. I got him on Strava, and I've been watching all the crazy training he's been doing, like 45K long runs. He's
Yeah,
really big on
huge
just
long
like
runs.
slow. But because he's just got so much talent with the 10K and the other distances, it'd be really interesting to see how he goes. Same with Huff too.
Yeah, now the 10K road national record holder, Sam Clifford from Japan early this year. And his half marathon's down at 61. So he's got so much potential. Yeah, and have to, like, he, I felt like he had a really good breakout year last year. He's been solid this year. That Marugame half this year, he was just over an hour. So, like, he's got so much potential in that half. It doesn't always convert to the marathon, but eventually it does, really. Like if these guys chip away, they do get there and produce some good times. So that'll be very interesting to see how he goes.
Looking forward to it. It should be good.
And
Hopefully
yeah,
I see them
Joel
in the
Tobin White's there. Sorry, you go.
hopefully I see them in the warm-up area.
Yeah.
I'll
Joel
say
Tobin
hello.
White's back for debut, isn't it, for him as
Oh, I
well?
think he's injured. I've just heard that he's injured, but
Yeah, right.
could be wrong.
Yeah, so that yeah, if he can get there, that'll be interesting. Like he's probably had a few more challenging years, but has shown so much potential in the half for a number of years now. So see how he goes. You might be right. Let's move into those women though, eh? Safwan Hassan, she's leading the way there,
My mate Siffy.
hey? So 2:13. Kozgai 2:14. This is the top three that I've found, and Adisa Ethiopia 2:17. Of course, those times will likely be a little bit slower at Sydney, but and we'll go back to the men's too, like the elite field. These have to be the best elite fields, arguably ever on Australian soil.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How exciting.
So good. How's Safwan been traveling of late? Have you been tracking her?
Safwan, she was meant to do a mile at the London Diamond League, I believe, but she pulled out, which I'm guessing maybe she's just like in a marathon block. But she did post a photo, I think 2 weeks ago, saying Sydney Marathon coming up soon. And it's just a photo of her doing a long run, I think. So, it seems like she's keen and she's ready. And she looks like she's booked in for a meet and greet on Friday at the Opera House or something. So it all seems like it's going ahead well. And
Yeah, fantastic. We're going to go down that list though. Let's get to the most importantly for us on an Australian podcast, these Australian women. What can you tell us about? We've got Jess, Lisa, Leanne. I don't know much about Abby either or Danette. I do know Ella McCartney. She's been on this podcast. And you've got a question mark against Rinny Ringy from the Gold Coast.
So I think it'll be a big head-to-head between Jess, Lisa, and Leanne.
Yeah.
Obviously, like with the stuff that went on last year with the Olympic selection, there was a lot of chat about head-to-head between those two athletes, and it's rare that we have a massive like matchup like that with our Aussie marathoners. So I think that's just going to be so motivating for all of them. Just that head-to-head between Jess, Lisa, and Leanne. And yeah, Jess, I've heard that Jess is in great form. So I think she's opened up on podcasts and online that that she's in shape, similar shape to what she was in Paris, where she came 13th, I believe, at the Olympic marathon. Lisa's also, yeah, been talking of how she's in good form too, done some awesome long runs and stuff. So, and feeling really strong. I can't believe that she's 46 and she's,
Yeah.
yeah,
Wild.
with that. she said she described it on social media. It's her bonus round, and I like that. Like running in her 40s is like her bonus round.
So good. I
Yeah,
love that. That'll
and
be such a good race up the front there, those top three. Like Leanne's
yeah.
obviously fresher to the marathon. She's out of Gold Coast too. You see she ran a 69, low 69 there in the half that is.
Yeah. And Leanne, I think she's been really putting the hard yards. I think that her coach really ups her training for the marathons, and she's new to the event, which I think is good in a way sometimes. But yeah, so I think she's doing like up to 200K a week, and she's doing hard work. Like some of the sessions I've heard are pretty insane. So it'd be interesting to see, yeah, them three go head to head. And yeah.
Yeah, Jess mentioned on the Inside Running podcast of the most recent episode, she's got this injury, I think, of the hamstring. Have you heard much about that?
Oh yeah, I did.
It
Yeah, so
didn't
she
sound
had.
great.
Yeah, she said she's had. Well, she sort of had it before Gold Coast as well. It was a bit iffy,
Yes,
but
yeah.
it was fine race day of the Gold Coast half. But she just wasn't feeling well for the Gold Coast half, and then she ended up DNFing. So, but she said it's like back to full strength now. She's been doing heaps of gym. So yeah, we'll just have
Yeah,
to
I
see
did hear her
what
say that. Yeah, she's
happens.
pretty meticulous with that.
Been a lot of hamstring injuries lately. I think it could be possibly the shoes or something.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
big
think
knee.
so. Yeah, like upper limb injuries with the higher
Yeah.
stack shoes. We don't hear much of the calves, shin splints, Achilles much anymore, do
Yeah.
we?
Nah.
Times
Yeah.
have changed. What about Abby and Danette? Do you know much about them? They're Australian too.
Well, Abby, Danette just ran a PB, 2 minute PB at Gold Coast half. So she ran 74 minutes. And then Abby ran 74:57. So they're in form. I think that Abby, I actually raced against Abby once at a 5K nationals, I remember. I think she just after her, she had a baby. So but I think that she could run faster than 2:34. She just ducked under 2:35. So I reckon she could run faster than that, and maybe it's a breakthrough that's coming. And Danette, yeah, running 74 minutes, she's probably in for a breakthrough too. And yeah, and is it Rinny? Yeah, I see. I met her Rinny at Ballarat Marathon when she was there. I think she was
Oh,
pacing,
yeah.
yeah, somebody. And yeah, so she's been training well for a while, so yeah.
Yeah, so just a refresher on the PBs there for the listeners who've forgotten. I often forget that the women's PBs, Brooke, because there's so many around that 222 to 226-ish. Like we got like Bat Doyle's on that list and Gregson, these ladies are under 225, 226 as well, but yeah, Jess Denson, she's a high 222. Lisa Waitman's 223. Pompiani's 224, which is crazy. And then, like, you look at these times, like, to be female running in the 230s is remarkable. But when you see Australian runners now in the low 220s, it's like you look at it for a second thinking, oh, it's not that great. But it really is. Like,
Yeah.
they're running pretty much in the 330, high 330 pace-wise as a, I guess, a way of explaining that to the listeners. And then the last one that we didn't mention was Ella McCartney, again, at the 238 runner. She's in that range, which is still remarkable.
Yeah. Like two, so 2:23 is 3:25 pace.
Yeah.
So they're running between like 2:25 to yeah, to 3:30 pace.
325 to into three, yeah, high 330s.
Yeah, that's
This
crazy.
entire list. Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. Yeah, it should be so exciting. Yeah, for me, it's a, I think a race off of those three Australians. But for, in my mind, I think Brett's got it for the Aussies. I reckon second to him is going to be Clifford. I reckon he's
Yeah.
going to come out and run a fantastic race. What do you
That'd
think?
be cool.
Oh, it would be.
Love to see that.
He's pretty confident. He was on the Inside Running podcast. Talks very well for a young guy, and he's talking up like that. He's confident he can go sub 210.
Wow.
So see how we go.
You probably have a really good debut.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's pretty smart. He'll go out pretty measurable. But let's get to you, Brooke, because you've basically put together some great marathon sessions. Like they're often the ones that you're posting up on Instagram that I see putting out drinks on those stations of yours, tables out and out your way. Let's paint a picture of the environment that you run in for the listeners, because you're not in an urbanized, built up concrete city with roads. You've got these dirt roads around you, so much land, and a bit more isolated. Like not much group running, is it?
No, so I don't think I did any runs with anybody, not even someone on a bike, like completely solo. And I also, because I had like a time this time, because now I had, I was doing this training with two kids now. It was just, I didn't really have time to meet up with other people either. So that was sort of part of it too. But yeah, we live 10 minutes out of like the Baruga town. And so we're on farmland, like lots of paddocks and stuff. But the road that we actually live on, that's like an actual bitumen road. And that will be like I can run probably 4.5K without a hill dead straight before I hit the highway. So it's like almost perfect for marathon training. I can do all those sessions that Jen and Ryan got me to do. And then if you sort of turn left about a K from our house, there's just dirt roads either side. So there's just like big blocks that are probably about 10K to go around the whole block. And then we're lucky too, because if you were to go into Bruga town, it's completely flat, like very flat in town. But where we live, we've actually got hills. So this morning I did 90 minutes and I just went like down the back towards like the dirt road areas. And I could get a few hills in. So yeah. And they're good hills too. They're not like short and sharp. They're like quite like got a long build to them. So yeah, it is sometimes like a bit, it's so deafeningly quiet. Like sometimes I'm running, I'm like, well, this is like almost eerie, because like you run up and there'll just be a bunch of cows there, just or like when I go do my sessions, there's like it's right near the calf area. So like the calves will just be staring at me while I'm doing my sessions. But yeah, I do all my sessions. I used to love going driving to the track. But since I've had two kids, it's just too hard to get to the track now. So what I did is I just don't tell on me, don't tell the council, but I spray painted
Oh,
like
yeah.
100 meter markers, 100 meters until a K. And I think I put a mile as well. And so that was just a way I could, accurately do my times and stuff like that. Because Jen and Ryan usually give me like, like a track session. So it was just easier for me to just do that instead of, traveling to the track. So yeah, but I've pretty much done this whole block on the farm, and in the winter I do more farm running because the bush in Baruga is just a bit too wet and can get a bit sloppy, like the roads. So it's just easier to run here. But yeah, it's been good, hard but good.
Yeah, well, let's go back to like postpartum. You know, a lot of women who are runners before having babies really, what's always going to be a struggle to some capacity, isn't it? But just talk to us about post baby and when the running started, and it's sort of what percent of your usual or like expected running weekly mileage that you were at to start with.
Yeah, it's pretty daunting. I sort of left the hospital, and those that have had babies know the feeling. It just feels so weak. Like just everything just feels so weak. You just don't feel yourself. Feel like you've been hit by a bus. So it's just a couple of weeks, I feel like, of just like healing basically. But I sort of found my groove at about 5 weeks. I started to feel myself again. I just felt like I had an energy, and I just could do little things around the house more than usual. So I sort of felt like I was back, and I went to Women's Health Physio in Yarrawonga and got the okay. I went straight into like a lot of cross training. I think I just missed training so much. So I did a heap of cross training, cross trainer and bike and stuff like that. But I had like a goal that I wanted to get to over until, I think until I got to end of May, which was the Noosa event, like the Noosa 10K. So I sort of had this goal that I would like to reach my full training split and load by then. So I just started off at about 40%. So just say like my goal in 10 weeks was to run 60 minutes on a Monday. I'd just do 40% of that and then increase by 10%, which worked out to be about a K. I was adding on a K to each of my runs over the week. And I just followed this gold standard rule of 10% each week, and then gradually, yeah, got to full training load, which was about 120 to 130 k's a week. But they were all like very gentle, like they weren't, I wasn't just like rushing back into it. And then I was able to string about 4 weeks of about 130 k's before Gold Coast. Didn't have the best race in Noosa. I feel like every year I always get sick right before Noosa. It's like that May, early May kids germs, like at daycare, I reckon, just every single year. Just so I was really disappointed because I had a few good sessions and I was running about 330 pace. And I was like, oh, it would be so great to run that pace at Noosa 10K. But I sort of did the first K 330 and I just was like, nah, this isn't gonna be my day. But it was still an awesome weekend as always. But yeah, so and then I was stoked that I ran yeah at Gold Coast. I was feeling really good in training and I was really happy because I just couldn't believe that I was able to yeah, it felt like I was gonna run a really good time. I was stoked that I could start this new job too and manage all of that. And yeah, so when I got to the Gold Coast, I ended up running 1:21:11, which I didn't realize at the time was only 6 seconds away from my PB. So I was actually really stoked with that. And I was just really surprised because I've always been a type of runner that, has to do a lot of work at a pace to feel confident going into a race to hold that pace. But I think I really changed my mindset about that now because I wasn't doing really much at that pace, and that pace was feeling hard, like just under 350s. But then when I got into the race, it was like, yeah, like I really just was able to change gears and just that in that race environment. And I think I just had a really good taper and I felt really good. So, yeah, but do wish I had a more of a sprint finish and could have got that PB. But
Oh yeah, where does that place you though amongst the women at 121 at Gold Coast?
sorry, it was 20th out of the Aussie women. Yeah, I can't remember where it was overall. But yeah, so 20th out of the Aussie women. So,
Yeah, it wouldn't be much higher. Like there'd be a few internationals there, but yeah, that's so decent. 5 seconds away from the PV. And I reckon that's definitely coming down like years when we get away from that postpartum time of your life in a few years. I reckon that half's gonna continue to come down. How good would a sub 80 be in a year or so?
And like, I really did think, yep, I reckon next time I could go, yeah, 119. Like, yeah, I
Yeah,
definitely feel like it's
100%.
there. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So let's get to, I guess, the last few months also in lead up to Sydney though. Like, how's the weekly mileage gone? And you talk about this mental game of trying to run a long duration at a decent or marathon pace. How's that looked in training?
Yeah, so I'll just go through like a training week what I did. On Mondays I would do 60-minute easy, sometimes a double. Just depends how tired I was from the previous day with the long run. Tuesday I would do a track session on the farm road. So probably one of my best that I did was I did 5 by 800. So a set of 5 sets of 800, 400, 200 with 1 minute rest. And I averaged 2:41, 75s and 35s. So I'm always doing sessions like that. I think they gave me a lot of faster intervals. Like I had a heap of 400 and 200 intervals, I think, just to keep the legs ticking over so my body didn't forget, just to run fast. So that was really good. Really enjoyed all those sessions. Sometimes I would do a 30-minute double, but sort of didn't get round to many of the doubles by the end of the block. Wednesday I do a mid-long run. Mid-long runs I hate. I don't know about you, Ollie, but I feel like I'm always dragging my feet and they go on forever. I think it's just like you're sort of recovering from the weekend still, but yeah, so I'd try to get 90 in. Thursday would just be easy, so 30 and 60 minutes. So yeah, 30-minute double and then 60 minutes easy. And then Fridays were my big marathon session days. So I just did them here on our main road because then I could get like a long stretch of one effort in. And I had 7 of them to get through. So this was like a new style of training for me. Like I'd never ever really done these long sessions. And to be honest, like I'd been terrified of them. Like I would read people doing sessions like this and be like, I could never. Like, no way. Like my body would hate it. But I try to just keep an open mind and like I was like, if Jen and Ryan, they know how to run marathons. So they know that sometimes it's just the work you need to do, you know what I mean? So I just kept an open mind and stayed positive. I was just like, what if I just try it? But there was definitely like the first couple of sessions I was just thinking, had like the tornado of negative thoughts. I'm like, nah, I'm not built for this. Like, no,
Yeah.
it's too hard. But it was good. I feel like probably around week three, I started to feel like find my groove with it, and I've started to like get it, and I feel like my body was getting used to the longer stuff. But some of the sessions were, so I'll just go through the ones that I did. So the first one was, you do 8 by 1K at 350 pace, so around your half marathon pace, and then 1K float, about 30 seconds slower. The second one was 7 by 8 minutes at your goal marathon pace. So for me, that was 355. 6 by 10 minutes at the goal marathon pace, 2 minutes recovery between. It was always 2 minutes recovery between the efforts. 5 by 12 minutes, 2 minutes recovery. 4 by 15, 3 by 20 minutes. And then we had like a last session that was like the last hit out. And that would end up being a 32K progressive run starting from 4:50 pace, and then I was every 8K I was dropping the pace down by 20 seconds. So the last 16K was 4:09s, and I got hit 3:53s for the last 8K of that session. So, but yeah, I think the biggest learning curve for me was like marathon training is so different to normal training, like, and I think I learned a lot about how to absorb the training. So many, I think that I learned just. You got to have your rest days. Like it's just the next, otherwise there's no way I would just end up getting injured if I just kept trying to do like an easy run after some of these big sessions. So I end up taking like a day off, like towards the end before the session, and sometimes even after these sessions. And it was like sort of hard to get my head around because I've been training a certain way for so long and I enjoy that style of training. But it was sort of almost like a big ego check. I had to just be like, nah, like it was really like about, with the laws of training, really, like it's about really hurting the body and then recovering it so that next time you come back stronger. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
yeah, I definitely learned a lot about that. Towards the end, I was pretty tired and I was sore. I didn't anticipate all that. So yeah, but I'm glad it's done.
Yeah, well, those big marathon sessions on a Friday are probably rare just because of the fact that people are going to full-time work. But those Sundays, like, have they just been steady long runs? None of those have had the marathon pace, like, for long durations within those.
Yeah, so the long run, that was always easy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
always easy instead of, yeah.
Yeah. So like the Friday, yeah, Friday was marathon session. Saturday was like an easy run. And then Sunday was more just like building to time on legs. So just say your goal marathon was 2 hours 45. You try and build up to that 2 hours 45, but you're just running easy. Yeah. So
Yeah,
the first
'cause
couple of weeks would be like 2 hours 10 and then 2 hours 20 the next week, 2 hours 30, 2 hours 45. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always something to think about because for those who are doing the marathon sessions in the Sunday long run, so have to be wary of the Tuesday backup. Like if you're doing a Tuesday fast session and you're smashing out a really decent marathon paced long run on Sunday, it's potential there for an injury and burnout, isn't it? So this
Yeah.
setup allows for that Friday to take the brunt of it, chill Saturday, and then get into Sunday with no urgency to run that fast, just duration.
Yeah, and I think it's like so important to just like listen to your body and just, yeah, like don't just do what's on the program just because it's there. Like don't be so, trying to tick every box because yeah, like your body's got to be able to absorb it. And I think that if you're just like not listening to your body and skipping ahead, like I just knew every like 2 or 3 weeks, I just needed a down week. And I had like a bit of an injury scare about halfway through the training block. But I felt like it almost came at the best time because I felt really good in training the next week. So I definitely felt like I needed my deload weeks because yeah, it was really hard to like back up. And I was thinking that next time when I go train for London, it would even be better to do a 9 day cycle of trying to get your long run marathon session and then like a speed session in, because then you've got ample time to actually recover for the next one. So I did find it hard on a 7 day cycle to fit those three things in, and it was crazy because I never thought I'd like it would be like that. I thought, oh, this will be fine, just the way I've always been training. Either that, or you just take yeah a lot of you do cross training and on your easy days or something to try to alleviate all the stress. But yeah, so but I think it's all learning, and I think like it's important to be flexible with that.
Yeah, well, I coach a few marathoners, and I'm always wary of those. The longer marathon sessions I'm talking about, where they're hitting like 15 to even 20K of marathon-paced work, you just can't be doing that week in, week out. Like you sort of mentioned, that down week, or just having a week where you do that kind of a session, but then you have one which doesn't include that is a potential, I guess, position you can take. But there's so many ways to do it. It's really about what works for you, isn't it? And for you, it's been obviously Ryan and Jen. Can anyone be coached by those two? And have you found their experience or your experience with them so far?
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah, anyone can be coached by them. They coach a wide range of runners. Hi. Sorry, I've got a little monster here. I'll be there soon. Sorry. Yeah, they've been amazing. They have such a wealth of knowledge, not just on their training. Like, they've been professional athletes for so long, but they just have an answer for everything. And like, I listened to Jen's whole build up from post baby, from Gold Coast, and then trying out for Paris and going to Valencia and running that awesome time she ran. So I feel like I've just got so much trust in what they do. Like, they really know their stuff, and they're just really good too. Like, I can message them if anything's happening. And there were a few things that happened in this block where I was just like, oh, I'm not feeling it today. I was in a low mood yesterday. Like, I don't know what's wrong. I think I'm really just tired from that big session. They're just like, all right, we'll quickly change it. They do all their training through like an app called Final Surge. So they're just like, yep, we'll update it. So yeah, they were really good. It definitely helps to have a coach who has the experience, but also just like can like adapt and be flexible and sort of understand everything. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Well, let's move on to the Sydney Marathon for you. Like you sort of alluded to your goal there. Like if you're running that pace, it's very likely that you'll be even sub 2:48. 2:48 is pretty much 4 minute pace, isn't it, for a marathon? But if you can hold sub fours, then we're going to even go lower than that. The PB is 2:56, isn't it, from Noosa? But certainly,
It
like the potential is there to take off a good, at least 5 minutes. But I think closer to 10 minutes is a there's capacity there to do even that. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think it's possible to hold the 3:55 pace, which would be a 2:45 marathon. And I feel like from Gold Coast, yeah, I really learned that I love like a racing environment. Like, I can really go to that next level when I'm in that environment, and Sydney will definitely be, an amazing experience and have the crowd and everything. But yeah, I think I'm probably going to go at around like 4 minute pace just because it is so undulating. And I don't want to have a bad experience and blow up like I did a little bit in Noosa. But yeah, so I'm going to just, yeah, jump in. Luckily they've got really good paces and stuff
I
and
was going to
pace
ask,
groups
is there a
there. So
pace
I think
there,
I'm
four
just
minute
going to,
pace?
yeah, so there's a pacer for 240, 245, 250, and then all
Yeah.
the way down, I think. Yeah, I don't even know how long it goes down. But so they've got heaps. And I think a lot of people will be in those groups. So yeah, I think the goal will be, yeah, to run a PB. Even if I run 252, 253, that's still like a big chunk off 256. So yeah, I've got to be happy with that. And if I come top 20 Australians again, like I did at Gold Coast, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and you've been part of the elite field as well. Like they've looked after you in different ways. And what does that actually look like on race day or the days before?
Yeah, so I applied for the elite, but I sort of said, oh, like I did Noosa, but I was a bit sick the week of, like it wasn't my best, and I sort of got in more of my potential, like with the 5 and the 10. I said, this is what I've done over 5 and 10. Could I please get a start? So yeah, I was really lucky to get that, but yeah, it's been pretty hectic. Like, the only thing I could compare this preparation in terms of like all the paperwork and like the professionalism would be the time that I did the World Mountain Running Championships, just in
Oh,
terms
yeah.
of like, yeah, just in terms of like all the like accreditation, had to like take my photo and send it off, like scan my passport. What was another thing? Shoe declaration, medical, media,
Yeah.
like a heap of media questions. I think that if like, so just say you're, just Denson, you're at the front, they've got just things to talk about like on the live stream. Like, they've just got random facts. They just want to know heaps about like your life and stuff like that. So yeah, that was really cool. And then on the day, or the day before, sorry, they've just got so much planned. So at 10:30 you get to go on a bus tour. So I'm gonna just hang out the front and see if Stefan goes on the bus. No. Oh no, I just think that's so cool. Like they got like a tour that goes through the whole marathon, and I think that's important too, just to know if I've already done had a look at the course. Just someone had a GoPro on their head or something, and I watched it while I was doing a long run once, just on the treadie. But I think it's important to just actually like have a good look when you're there, and also to look at the ground and stuff like that, like what you're actually running on and where it's a bit twisty and stuff. So they've got that at 10:30. And then 3 p.m. they've got like a your bat uniform check, shoe check, and then like drink drop and stuff. And then they've got a technical meeting, so they go everything that's going to happen on the day. And then the next day they've got a bus. I think it leaves at like 4:15, so they must be going in before the roads close. That's why it's so early. And then there's like an elite area, so you'll have like a warm up area and also your own bag drop, so you can leave everything there and they'll find a place for you to have it like after the race. So yeah, but pretty intense, 'cause I just can't believe that like I'll be 5 months postpartum and like I'll be in the same like elite bus. The fun. Well, I hope she's catching the bus. But like that just blows my mind. Like I can't believe that. And I think that's the thing that I really took this opportunity seriously. I was like, I really want to, yeah, have a good race and have a good experience, because I think these things don't come around often. And yeah.
No, but so far it seems pretty smooth sailing. Wasn't there some kind of injury scare at some point a month or so ago?
Yeah, so at about, I think I was about 4 weeks into the block. So I think it was, so what happened was I did Gold Coast, but I didn't really have a down week after Gold Coast. And I did a marathon session the Friday after, and I realized I was
Oh,
pretty beat
yeah.
up. I didn't take the rest day after Gold Coast half, and I paid for it. And so I did that, but then I also had school holidays for 2 weeks. So I was doing this new marathon training, the longer long runs and sessions, but I was also like trying to teach Huddy how to ride his bike and running next to him and just doing lots of like school activities and stuff, school holiday activities. And I think it was just like a bit too much. And I had this really deep ache in like my hip. So I think I learned that like sometimes in running, if because it like bone stress injuries are so common, like sometimes you've just got to just accept it, take the week off and get it sorted. Like try and get an MRI as soon as possible, try and get someone to read it and see what's going on, and just cross train while you can, because I think there's nothing worse than running with a bone injury. You can just make it worse so quickly. But I started stressing because I've never had this pain before. It was just a real deep ache, and I was just like Jen and Ryan were like, oh, just go and get it sorted. Luckily, like I got an MRI on the weekend, so the Saturday, and then by Monday I had found out. So I was probably started to rest on the Tuesday, but I found out by the following Monday. But the thing about this place that I went to, the radiology clinic, that you do the MRI and they text you the photos like that night. So like I was like in Melbourne and I'm like in the hotel and I'm like, oh my God, I've got a stress fracture. I definitely have. I can see it. Like a
Oh,
stupid.
really? So to you first, not the clinician or doctor or anything.
No, so the actual place, they don't they the report the what's it called? The radiologist hasn't even done the report yet to send to your physio or doctor. They'll just send you the photos like a couple of hours after you've had the MRI.
With no written report or anything.
No written report. So the written
Really? So you're
report
looking at
wasn't even.
this trying to see if things look out of
Yeah.
place.
And then I stupidly like screenshotted photos and sent it to ChatGPT, and I'm like, do I have a stress
Yeah, I've
fracture?
done this. I've done
And
this.
surely the chat GPT was like, yes. He was like, oh yep. Yeah, you've definitely got one. I can see a lot of damage. I was like, so then I was like actually telling people that I had a stress fracture. Like I even like said to Jen Ryan, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I've got a stress fracture. And then I went to the physio on the Monday, and like I was prepared to go like walk out in crutches. I'm not kidding. Like I was like, this is gonna be bad. And then he sits down, he's like, yeah, there's no stress fracture. And I'm like, oh my
I've never experienced that. They almost always go to the doctor first.
yeah, well, I think it's bad. I know I definitely learned my lesson, like to just always wait for the report, because pretty much self-diagnosed. And then I was such a drama queen about it. I felt so bad. I was just like, oh, it's all over. Like I'll just recover now. Made plans to like, not be at Sydney and stuff. So yeah, so then when I found out it wasn't a stress fracture, it was just a bit of inflammation in the hip. I sort of had to just like take it easy, but I definitely changed my perspective about Sydney. Like, Sydney's like a bucket list for me. And I think when I was lying in that MRI machine, it's just so defeating. You just think,
It's
oh,
terrible.
I wish I didn't get carried away. Like, you
Yeah.
start having so much regret. And I think I really made a promise to myself. I was like, Brooke, I'd rather go into races a little bit undercooked. And just, if you need to take the rest day, take the rest day. And I think that's a lesson I really need to learn. And I think that it's so important, like we were talking about before, to be flexible with your training. And if you know you're not absorbing it, then just it's no point. Like, take the rest day. Like, you'd rather have all those rest days than just never getting to the finish line of races or never being able to, do your dream races. So I think after that, I sort of backed off a bit. I stopped doing some doubles, and I basically just like did what I could to get the main sessions done. I think it's something that a lot of people go through. Like, so many people go through injuries. I'd love to know the percentage, but yeah, I think it's a good lesson. I think if something hurts and doesn't feel right, but even in with your general motivation and your general, if you just don't feel up for training, I feel like that's a huge sign that like something's up. So yeah, just making sure you really listen to your body.
Yeah, that sleep and nutrition is so important. I saw a study that had come out online on Instagram just the other week, and it was showing like the correlation between lack of sleep and injury rate. And of course, the less you sleep, the higher the chance of injury. But I just feel like so many people are persisting with recovery strategies like putting themselves in recovery boots or jumping in an ice bath or getting a massage and forgetting about the top two things are get really good sleep and eat well and eat a lot of food. And I think the calories is the big one. Like, you think most runners think about
Absolutely.
their diet, but I think the thing they miss out on most is getting enough food and like calories actually in. It takes a remarkable amount of food. And those two things alone can really help injury rate. And probably the third one I throw in there, it would be strength, is the strength work and doing that as a preventative measure as well.
Absolutely. I'm so big on that. After my marathon sessions, I would do those two big up and go proteins. So the 500 mil up and go Energize. And that really helped. But I can't believe how much I ate during the marathon build. I feel like I was just always going to the pub. I was like, all right, kids, let's go to the pub. I need to have like a big bowl of pasta. Like, yeah, you need your food. Otherwise, you'd no way you could do it. It just won't work.
Oh, 100%. Hey, let's get to future races because I know you signed up for the London Marathon. You're into that event. And our one and only listener question comes from Kate. And she's a runner from Brisbane and she's asked about your London goals. So the race time that you'd hope for there, it's going to give you what, another, what, 9 months almost?
Got into London, which I'm so excited. I've never been to London. I've been to a few places in Europe, but yeah, never been there. So my son's really excited for the Peppa Pig bus. So that'll be fun for him. But no, I'm really looking forward to that. I think London's not like super duper fast. Like, it's a bit twisty, as we learned from when Andy did London. I think I'll probably try to get fit after this Sydney. So once Sydney's done, I'm really keen to do a block of like heaps of hills and do a heap of races like Burnie, do Melbourne Half, Noosa 5K. Just get fit then, and then use that as like a base to then go into the next marathon block. So hopefully by then, the marathon paces are coming down. But yeah, I'd definitely love to run 2:45 or a bit faster if I can. I definitely got through the end of this block and I was just like, I really miss like just normal training, I guess. Like, I miss just doing shorter sessions. You just recover better. Like, when I did a threshold on Friday, I was like, oh, I love this. Like, I had all the endorphins and I'm like, I miss this so much.
Yeah,
So I think
definitely.
when you
It's
do that
crazy.
marathon training, it's just you're in a constant state of like always recovering and then, being sore and tired. So I'm just looking forward to just having fun with the shorter races. I lo really love the Mountain of Surf too. That's in January. The weather's getting better, so I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, so for London, hopefully, I think I might try to do that 9-day cycle, and by then, if Jen and Ryan will agree to that, so I can get like those sessions in and make sure I'm recovering properly. And because I still believe that high mileage is really good. When I've run my best, I've run high mileage, but I think high mileage is really hard to get into a 7-day cycle. when you're training for the marathon, because those big sessions are just so hard on the body. It's hard to do that 30 and 60 the next day or mid-long run. Like, so I think if it was able to be, over 9 days or 10 days, I feel like I could get the work in without and still run high mileage. But yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, quick shout out for Noosa Bolt. It's not the fastest race because there's so many turnarounds. It's like a one point something K turnaround there, and super hot, always super hot. But it's fun because the crowds just line the road. So if you haven't been to Noosa Bolt before, well, firstly, you do have to be quick enough. The cutoff has got slower in more recent years for both genders, I think. From men's point of view, I think it was sub 17 last year. It used to be like at least sub 16. For the
Wow.
women, it might be even up to sub 19 now. And if you can get into that race as a youngster or someone who's got the ability to do it, I highly recommend that. Don't expect a PB because you burn out after about 3K with the heat. But yeah, that'll be exciting to see how that event goes this year. Anything else to add there, Brooke, before we wrap up the conversation?
No, I'll put on my Instagram just my number if anyone wants to track me. I'd really appreciate that. On the day. So I think we start at 6:30. So if you're willing to get up at 6:30 a.m. and watch how the race unfolds. But yeah, really looking forward to it. And yeah, really looking forward to Noosa too, as you're saying. Love the Noosa weekend. That's like that triathlon Noosa Bolt weekend. So much
Yeah,
fun.
it's part of the triathlon. I should have mentioned that. Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah.
Well, thanks again for jumping on. And yeah, I'm pretty efficient at this these days, and we'll get this out probably within the next half an hour to an hour for you to listen back to and for listeners to tune in again, I think for the eighth time to Brooke Williams. So thanks again, Brooke, for jumping on, and enjoy the rest of your day and good luck out at Sydney. I'm not running as much as I have been with an injury, so I'm sure next weekend for me on a Sunday it won't be a long run per se, so I'll certainly be tuning in myself. So again, good luck.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I'll
See
get
ya.
up. Did you know the local legends in running do online coaching? If you're interested, jump on Instagram and give me a DM. I really do appreciate the listenership, and if you enjoyed listening to this episode or the podcast in general, jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you again, guys. Cheers.